We'll never lower our interest rates. It's the Butterful and Crittletastic Homemade Hit Show. Okay, hi there again, and welcome to the Homemade Hit Show with
Dave Criddle from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Who will try and stop coughing through the show, I hope.
Yes, yes, I'm full of phlegm today, so better watch it.
All right, that first song there was a kind of interesting one. That was from a band called Gasms, I guess, like Orgasms, but just Gasms, and it was called Envy. It's sent in by Joe Aiello. And he sent a few bits of information, but he said he plays guitar and drums, bass and vocals are Kevin Thomas, and that song featured a solo by Kerry Kelly of Alice Cooper, and it was recorded on a Boss Micro BR.
Yeah, those were some super high vocals.
Yeah, they were good, and the little note I made was you have to listen with headphones, I think, but there were some really interesting harmonies that he panned to one side, so there was a harmony that wasn't singing the same thing as the lead track. It was just kind of it was a slightly different melody, but it just kind of worked well. So,
yeah, he did like it sounded like it was just like a falsetto,
yeah,
or something like that. That was I noted that too. That was pretty cool, and
right,
yeah, that was one heck of a guitar solo too.
Yep. All right, so last week obviously was the video show, different and popular, I think, but plenty of work.
Yeah, that was neat. Your drum segment, it was the standout for me. It really, it's amazing just how a video can, a picture's worth a thousand words or whatever they say.
Yeah, so people are saying you need to do more of that kind of stuff, but I don't know what else to do. So if anybody wants to cover anything, I think Dave was thinking about how you could show like maybe compression, maybe noise reduction, that kind of thing using the video of it would probably be a lot clearer than just the audio of it. So that's one idea. But outside of that, people are going to have to let us know what they want to see.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get some video segments together. I did download the video cam and did a little playing with it, and it's pretty neat.
Right.
I have a house full of sick people right now at my house, so it's been a little bit haven't had a lot of clear time to do it, but yeah, I'm definitely going to do some. I've got some, about the compression idea, and there another thing I do with my recordings. Whenever I start a recording, I will cut up my recordings by the chorus, verse, you know, bridge, and that sort of thing,
right?
And then color code them so that then you can easily, you know, rearrange the song while you're kind of building the song. As you know, so if you say, right, "Oh, what happens if we put another chorus in after that?" It's real easy to cut and paste it. I might do a video example of how I do that.
You know, I think
it's just neat. It's neat the way when you record, when you're looking at the video, it's sort of like looking over someone's shoulders.
Right.
You know, you really pick up a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of things I might be doing just sort of a second nature, but when you watch me doing it on a video, you might say, "Oh, wait a minute, what's he doing there?"
Yeah, I was thinking one thing I might do is a Toneport gearbox review, because we talk about that, but seeing the screens might be good for those who don't have them. And also, because I mix so quickly once I've recorded, I thought I might just record a whole mixing thing. So when I've got a song and I'll have, you know, whatever, I've got about 12, 15 tracks already recorded, I can usually sit down and mix the whole thing in 10 minutes because of my rather simplistic approach to it, which people want to hear about. So maybe I'll just record me doing the whole thing. Bit of compression here, bit of panning there, and I'm done, you know.
The Toneport is very hard to describe in words sometimes. I mean, until I got it and started using it, you know, I didn't really get it.
Right.
But then when you get it, you're like, oh, wow.
And one thing I learned since last week, thanks to Dave King, is that YouTube has a director's account, which is free. You just have to flag your account as a director's account, and that lets you have much longer videos. So the 10 minutes is the default for regular people. But if you choose to have longer, you can. So I'll be able to get the longer ones. Although there was some value, I think, to having it broken up as well. So we'll have to see what works best.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good.
A couple of things that, well, one thing I came across, so I was contacted by somebody called Green Dragon Media. So if you want to check that out, greendragonmedia.com, a lot of homemade music-related videos. There's a bunch of videos on there of kind of lessons, homemade lessons and things, and a lot of homemade songs, you know, by people and videos. That was a good site to find. And then we've talked about this before, and it's actually changed its name, and I'm hoping Dave can remember, but what used to be chordstudio.com is got a lot of upgrades. So if you want to sit at your desk at work writing songs with their instruments and stuff, check out chordstudio.com, which changed its name.
They've updated a little bit. They've changed it a little.
Yeah, when you go to chordstudio.com, it reroutes to another name now. I'll have to put in the notes when I remember what it is. So.
And that's the one where you can choose like a guitar strumming pattern.
Yeah,
and
that
is a cool little toy.
Yeah. And the last thing to, I keep talking about this lyrics book that I like that I have, and I finally remembered to write the name of it down. It's called Writing Better Lyrics by Pat Patterson. And it's kind of more of a exercises kind of thing. It's not like, it doesn't give you ideas or inspiration. It just says, once you have an idea, here's ways to write those lyrics. It's got worksheets and examples of how to get good stuff that we've covered a little bit on the show in the past.
Yeah, those exercises are pretty handy. You've come up with a lot of good exercise. When we did that, you know, Tony and I have done that a couple times where we'll just do a little songwriting exercise together, and it's it really is very inspiring when you do that.
All right, so we'll do a song, I guess. This song here is from Daniel Waite. It's called A Candle in My Window. He attached a short spoken introduction to it, like the old days. He actually sent me this in September, so I'm finally catching up. It's a very, very basic song, vocal and a couple of guitar tracks, I think. Just felt to me at times maybe it could have had something else in there, some strings or something, but give it a listen. I like the way that he did the pan strumming. He had a kind of a pick guitar that was relatively centered and then a fairly basic strumming in the one ear.
Yeah, that has on a 12-string. That added a little dimension. Yeah, we'll let you listen and see what you think.
All right, so this is Daniel Waite and A Candle in My Window.
Hi, my name is Daniel Waite. I'm a recording artist from Burbank, California. I use a Korg D1600 digital recording studio. I really love that machine. It has a lot of versatility, and it really sounds great. The song I'm presenting today is A Candle in My Window. And it's a song I actually wrote back in 2001, but didn't get around to recording it until 2007, back in June. It utilizes a fingerpick 12-string guitar for the backing chords and a fingerpick 6-string guitar for the sort of the melody. And just a real simple song. I tend to like to play ballads and acoustic fingerpicking, so that's my style. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening.
I don't know where you've gone to, and I don't know where you've been. If you've gone off to find yourself, or you've gone back to him. For my thoughts still wander with you, and this loneliness I fight. And there's a candle in my window, burning bright for you tonight. My radio must be broken, 'cause the only thing it plays are sad songs and melodies to remind me of better days. But my thoughts still wander with you, and this loneliness I fight. And there's a candle in my window, burning bright for you tonight. There's a candle in my window, there's a flame inside my heart. There's a dream of us together when we first made a start. But the times have changed forever, and your future you must find. There's a candle in my window, burning bright for you tonight. Every day I check the mailbox for a message or a clue. Maybe you've settled down and thought this whole thing through. But my thoughts still wander with you, and this loneliness I fight. And there's a candle in my window, burning bright. Oh, there's a candle in my window, there's a flame inside my heart. There's a dream of us together when we first made a start. But the times have changed forever, and your future you must find. But there's a candle in my window, burning bright for you tonight. Well, I'm fighting these urges to go off and look for you, bring you back where you belong. That's all I wanna do. There's a dream of us together when we first made a start. But the times have changed forever, and your future you must find. There's a candle in my window, burning bright. Oh, there's a candle in my window, burning bright for you tonight. Thank you.
All right, that was Daniel Waite and A Candle in My Window. We've had a kind of a busy week. Dave's been a little bit sick, and I've become a video superstar, so I no longer wish to work in radio. So we're a little bit short of ideas for this week, so we've only got a little piece here. This is I don't know what it is, really. It's an example of nothing. It's an example of doing something a little differently. I wrote a song in the summer, or a tune for a song. I just couldn't come up with any melody for it, and I kind of abandoned it. And when I abandoned it, I sent it to my online friend Gary Davis and said, hey, do you want to do something? 3 or 4 months later, he hadn't done anything, and I had a spare afternoon, so I actually did my own version. And maybe 2 days later, almost by coincidence, he sent me his. So I'm going to play a little snippet here of the instrumental chorus, the chorus with my version, and the chorus with Gary's version. And afterwards, at the end of the show, we'll play the whole song, but just to give somebody something to think about. Have you thought about it, Dave?
I have thought about it. Yeah, it was it was an interesting exercise to hear how different directions with the same chord bed, you know, two people could take it.
You see, my thing is I'd put the little synth line in, you'll hear, and I have trouble not following that. So my vocals just followed the synth, whereas Gary went off with his own thing, and the synth kind of becomes a backing to his. So that was pretty cool.
Right. So here it is.
Hopefully somebody found something interesting in that.
Yeah, it was a cool exercise, and that'd be a fun thing to do, to actually just to,
right.
We could do that sometimes, you know. We've talked about putting a bed of our songs out there. I've actually got two songs, you know, the music completely done on two songs, and haven't been able to do the vocals for them yet, but it'd be interesting to send that out to people and see what see what different people could do with it.
See, I actually wrote a pencil note earlier that I forgot to read out, that you've become the world's biggest home recording tease. We constantly hear about these songs that you've written and that you're going to do, and the lyrics you've done and the great line, and I don't think we've actually heard a song from you in 6 months. So
I know.
So
it hasn't been quite 6 months, but yeah, in 3 months it's been my work has just gotten crazy over the last month, but I think things are getting better. Well, part of the big problem was the last song that I wrote that I was really excited about, I went to sing it. I wrote it, you know, and I wrote the lyrics out, and I kind of had an idea what melodies I have, but I hadn't really actually played it, because I think, as you also have the same problem, I have, you know, problems putting the vocals down in my house because I just never have a time where I can sing out when I'm not either going to wake up a baby or, right. you know, bother somebody. But I finally sang it, and it turned out the key was way too high.
Well, maybe get the guy from that first band to sing it for you.
Right. Maybe I need to call him up. Yeah. So, yeah, so now I've gotten all this music done and realized that the vocal that I wanted to put on it, I can't sing it as high as it is. So it's either I sing it an octave down, and I did that and didn't really like it. So now I guess the next thing to do would be maybe re-record the guitars and try to... Problem was, a lot of it was open right. Strumming and stuff. A lot of it, relied on open strumming, and it's going to be hard to transpose it. So now I'm in a conundrum to figure out what to do next on that one.
I don't know if you... It may be worth a try is to use, like, I know in Acid they have you can shift the tempo, not the tempo, the pitch. So
yeah.
with beat mapping, as long as it knows the tempo, and it, especially over relatively short moves, maybe you only need to bring it back a couple of semitones, and it works pretty well.
Yeah, that really is, you know, it's true. You can just take it down, even a semitone or two, it can really make a big difference in what my vocal range can be.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about trying to play with that. I was going to play with that in Cubase, so yeah, right. that'll be my next step.
The other way...
All right, that'll be my goal. Before the end of the month, I'm going to get at least two of my songs completed so you can hear it.
I think part of the problem... Actually, let me jump back for a second. The other way to do that I've done, by the way, is you bring it down in order to sing it, then you take it back up and you take your vocals up. So sometimes that works better than bringing the music down. So, you know, you record it down two semitones, but then you put the music back to what it was originally and up your vocals by two semitones to get them to fit. Just try both ways. Maybe one will work.
Yeah, I'll try that.
It's now I forgot completely. Oh, yeah, The problem I have with the songs like the position you're in is I kind of lose interest in them. I find that if I don't get them done relatively quickly over the course of maybe 2 weeks, that I've already mentally moved on to something else.
Yeah, I'm still excited about these songs, but I've got it. Yeah, it's just a matter of just bearing down and finishing them.
And we definitely should either us or somebody else, anyone else who wants to do this, put the tracks out. But I think what I've found when you put a track out for someone else to sing or maybe add something to is you really need to break it down. You need to say, this is the tempo, these are where the verses are, this is where the chorus is, probably even what chords you're playing in each part, because without all that, it's just very difficult sometimes for people to go on top. And there are musical experts like Dave who can do it, but some of us need a lot more guidance. All right, so check us out at homemadehitshow.com. Well, I guess one day we'll get a picture of me and Dave up there, but maybe we don't want that, I'm not sure. And we'll check the forums. The forums have been quite active, got some nice posts in there at homemadehitshow.com/forum. I'll put links to the books and various other things that we've talked about today. And
yeah, it's been nice having those forums back.
Right.
I think I've been making a respectable showing out there.
Yep. Anything left to say for this week?
I don't think so.
All right, so the last song is Gary Davis and the Tones. Sounds like a band from the 60s. And it's called Don't Try to Find Me. I wanted to mention on this one, this has got musically a pretty full sound, but it has absolutely the minimum amount of tracks for me at least. It's got one bass, one guitar, one synth, and I think there's one backing vocal and plus Gary's lead. But it still sounds like a full thing. So I think this song taught me not to be so obsessed with having 52 guitar tracks. Just find one good one and use it.
That's interesting that you mentioned that, because it's, you know, I never really, when I listen to the song, I don't think of it as being particularly sparse or anything like that. But now that you say it, it isn't. Just has those tracks. Maybe, you know, and I think too, you know, good use of reverb,
right,
and panning can really make a difference too, because it can make it sort of fill out and sound full, even if there's just those instruments.
But interesting, I think if you remember, I had trouble knowing how to pan it, because with only one guitar track, I didn't want to pan it too far either way, and I had nothing really to balance it out on the other side. So it was kind of an interesting. Right. But of course, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and some bands even today, the Raveonettes is a band I've been listening to. They record everything with four tracks, so it can be done.
Yeah, I almost always do two guitars and paint them left and right. That might be a good challenge to try to do it with just one.
And one thing that's good about a few tracks is if you want to change something, it doesn't really matter. If you've recorded 13 tracks and you want to re-record the middle, you've got 13 tracks to do. Keeping it simple like this makes it a lot easier to make changes.
Right, right.
I'll also add that Gary sent me his vocal track, kind of, it was very affected, as you'll hear it, and it was an MP3, so maybe the quality of the vocal track on top of the rest isn't as good as it might have been, but it still works as a song.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, we'll see you next week. This is Don't Try to Find Me by Gary Davis and the Tones, and it's goodbye from me and goodbye from...
me.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Thank you.